Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 428. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you'd like, it's absolutely free, audio tape or a CD. It's, like I said, it's absolutely free, and we don't even charge you for postage and handling. We have some great music. We have a great message. We have everything, as a matter of fact. We've got salvation, the message of salvation for you. And so we got some testimonies as well. But right now, before we launch out into the deep, we ask you, Father God, to open the windows of heaven and pour out your Holy Spirit, for you to take this program over, for you to be the one that does all the sayings in it. Lord God, we ask that you do that, that the souls may be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I'm really glad that this Ralph Carmichael, who is the conductor of a song that I'm going to call right now, that he wrote a book, because I really would pray that I could do a session with him, because he really has a set of standard of excellence in gospel music that is unparalleled with anybody else. It's fantastic. And my wife Susie, who went on to be with the Lord April 8th, 1982, was the one that told me about him. Here's a quote from his book. He said, I developed my own opinions about the gospel music. The more of the gospel music, more kinds of music that I heard, the more I wondered about this stereotyped music that they were playing, that he had heard in most churches. I grow to consider it was weak. Yes, a lot of gospel music was downright embarrassing to me. It was ill prepared and ill performed. There was no standard of excellence. Well, Ralph Carmichael went on to this was when he was just a child that he was thinking these things. And he went on, he was playing the fiddle during the time that he was, his mother and dad, his dad was a preacher, and his mother, they all were like a gospel unit, that they'd go from one church to the other. Sometimes they had two or three churches of their own. Here's Ralph Carmichael, who I believe sets the standard for gospel music everywhere, is with a song entitled Fairest Lord Jesus. Ralph Carmichael with the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir. Such a beautiful song. Fairest Lord Jesus.
Oh,
Ralph Carmichael, if you'd ever like to do an album with me, I'm ready. And quite able as well. We, I've done a thesis here on the first church, which were the Jews, not the Romans at all. The holy city is Jerusalem, amen?
Amen.
The holy nation is Israel. It's not Rome or Italy, it's Israel. Jerusalem is the holy city. This is Mount Zion. And you know, on top of Mount Zion is Jerusalem, and just a little bit down the road is Bethlehem. And this sits on the top of Mount Zion as well. That's the city of David, which is called Zion, Bethlehem. And it's the city where Jesus was born. It really is a very small village that sits right on the edge of Mount Zion. You can just look down. It seems like 1,000 feet down. And you can see little mountains, a mountain range down below there from Mount Zion. And it's just those scriptures that David said, Jerusalem is encompassed by mountains. It's way down below. It's just amazing. I just love it. It's thrilling to be in Israel and to see the Bible the way it's written. It comes alive to me when I read it, but it really adds a lot to it when you can see it. Now, Adam and Eve, this is where Christ was in the garden there. He is the tree of life. So there's the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, this happened in 4000 B.C. They say 4004, but it's actually 4000. That's when the heavens and the earth was formed, and the man was formed in the garden. And this is where Christianity began, right there. Christ is the tree of life. And then God called Abraham 1,921 years before Christ. And the Bible stated that the entire earth would be blessed by the seed of Abraham. And so, again, Christ, Christianity, is the oldest religion, not Catholicism. That's the exact opposite of Christianity. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses from the burning bush in 1,491 years before Christ. And God gave the instructions for the tabernacle, which is the church, in 1,490 years before Christ was born. Now, the Catholics say that they were the first church. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yes.
I mean, you know, they just count on the fact that you don't read the Bible. And they also count on the fact that, you know, they are deceivers. That Satan's church or cult deceives people. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he deceiveth the whole world, the devil. Now, the Dark Age has happened. The medieval papacy, or the cult, the Roman cult, which the Bible states is Rome, that's Satan's seat, where he sits, was established in 590 years after the death of Christ. And what they did is they put together a cult, and they didn't use the New Testament whatsoever. Christ had been dead already, and he established that he was not to be found in earthly tabernacles, but he stated that we are the tabernacle of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're the temple of God, not any multi-million-dollar building, or for that matter, any $10 building or a cardboard box clear up to $1 billion buildings. So in order for Satan to make people believe that he is the oldest church and the real church, is they knew people's thoughts on how awesome money looks to them. So Satan decided to build a lot of very expensive tabernacles. Some of them, like I say, you go to the one in Venice and it's lined with gold. So they imitated the Old Testament. In a way, the Old Testament church, because Solomon covered the interior of the house of God with gold. But again, this was the Jews, and so they also stole the Jewish Old Testament, the lighting of candles, the ringing of bells, and things like that, which they continued on. But this all ended where the veil of the temple just busted down the middle after Christ, when Christ was crucified on the cross. And so, again, this medieval Catholicism was established 590 years after the Lord Jesus and the disciples, the apostles, laid down what Christianity was all about, and that Jesus must live within, and that he would live forever and ever to those that would keep his commandments inside of them. And therefore, we all become members of the body of Christ when we come to him the way that the Bible says, not the way that the Catholic cult that was started 590 years after the apostles of Jesus and the apostles had already lived and died and went to heaven. Now, except for the Greek Orthodox Church, all the churches became known as Roman churches. So the Greek Orthodox Church is no different, really, than Catholicism. When I was in Bethlehem, I had to crawl into that church, and the Greeks were holding a service at the same time that the Roman Catholics were, and there was just a half of a wall separating the services from each other. And they were dressed in all these beautiful gowns and crowns on top of their heads, and all they are is just men. And Jesus, nor none of the disciples dressed that way. This is all going back to the old Jewish law. They imitate Judaism. Judaism is over with when Christ came. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the highest bishop in this Roman Catholic and the Greek Orthodox Church is the Pope. He's the highest bishop, the Pope. And the meaning of the Pope means the old father, or the presiding one. And the authority of the Pope was fully established to ignorant people with the recognition of the churches. So they spend all these millions of dollars instead of feeding the poor. You can go to any Catholic country and see people starving to death, and they give their last few pennies to that cult to lay gold all over their floors and everything. This is the Roman Church. You go to Mexico, some of those border cities like Tijuana or around El Paso, which is Juarez. The Roman Church, you see them living in cardboard boxes. The Roman Church became known as the Catholic Church. That's 590 years after Christ's death, and they claim to be the first church. At that time, the Bible was locked up, and the Vatican was the one that locked it up. Anyone who believed the Bible, they were not allowed to read the Bible. Anyone that believed the real gospel was not allowed to read it. The Pope was the sole one that he allowed himself to read it himself. Under the Pope were the cardinals. Under the cardinals were the archbishops. And under the archbishops were the bishops. Every one of them deferred to the Pope. Well, whatever the Pope says. And the Pope was not a born-again Christian. He's the leader of the world's most dangerous cult. whenever there was a question concerning the Bible or the truth of the Word of God, there was no need and no room for debate. That was not allowed, and you didn't have any Bible to prove your point back then. The question had to be brought to the Vatican. The Pope and his archbishops would then supposedly study the issue and give what they called a holy decree, which was the final decision according to them. It didn't matter whether it was right or wrong to them. Thus the Bible was closed up for the churches for actually 1,000 years, 10 centuries. Now then, the reason they don't want you to read the Bible, and they didn't want to, this is called the Dark Ages, is because they didn't want you to know that homosexuality was, those homosexuals were condemned to hell. They don't want you to know that. And they don't want you to know that murder will send your soul to hell. 10 centuries, 1,000 years, from the end of the 6th century until the completion of the Reformation at the end of the 16th century. In Western history, this period, which lasted a full 1,000 years, is called the Dark Ages because the Catholics kept the Bible from the people for over 1,000 years. Now, you know, why would anyone but the devil want to keep the Bible, the Word of God, the actual power of God, actually God himself from you? Well, then why didn't God come down and kill him? Because God wants to show the true nature of Satan. Amen?
Amen.
That he would hide the gospel from billions of people for all these years, 1,000 years. Today, because of the influence of the Protestant churches, the Catholic Church no longer controls the Bible truth. They twist the Bible. One of the things they do, too, is they pray to statues and they pray to Mary, which is absolutely forbidden by the Bible. But they don't want you to have the Bible. They don't want your children to have the Bible because they know that if your children read the Bible, they will not swallow the garbage, the satanic, lethal poison that they preach to people. They can't do it. They can't control the Word of God as tightly as before. But they realized that they must get a hold of that Bible again and stop you from reading it. To stop your children from reading it, because Satan knows that he's going to hell soon, into the lake of fire, and he doesn't want to be there alone. He wants to have hundreds of millions of people there with him. Misery loves company, don't you know? How they ever got in charge of it is just satanic. Many Catholics read the Bible now, but to them, the final interpretation of the truth is still, because Satan has deceived them, is decided for them by the Pope. And that's really, really sad. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord has called prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers, and helpers to get this word out to you before it's everlastingly too late. The Lord's coming back to earth again, and in mercy he has loosed the Bible to the people of the world. And he doesn't want you to live in the Dark Ages anymore. We have some testimonies now. Where's the first one from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, in the name of our Lord Jesus, I am sending millions of greetings. Amen. Pastor, I want to thank you for the Bible and Messiah books you sent me. I received them safely. Through the Messiah book, I have come closer to God by gaining spiritual knowledge and wisdom. Really, I have seen a great change in my life as never before. The other Messiah books were distributed to my fellow Christians, and they are highly appreciating the Almighty God. You can expect to receive their letters soon. With much joy, I entered into prayer and fasting, praying for this lovely ministry. I separated 10 days and 10 nights. These are some of the prayer requests I was praying for. 1, that Pastor Lamo should continue remaining faithful before God. 2, that God should increase the anointing.
Well, yes, I mean, pray for that, please, because, Satan tries to discourage everyone. I know that I'm going to be faithful, but it always helps for you to add that to it. And, we're going to be in a, we're always, ever since I was saved, it's like Satan knew who I was and who Susie was, and we were tortured and tormented and falsely accused, and our character was maligned because we're preaching the true Bible. And but the way that we have been saved for all these years is that we call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. And because he says, I will deliver, I'll deliver you. And he says that thou shalt glorify me. And the way we glorify the Lord is to preach the gospel to him and win souls. Don't let, when you know the truth, don't hide it under a bushel, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
But put it on the mountaintops, the hills. Let everybody see the truth because it's been hidden for so many years by the Vatican. Don't let that happen anymore. And those of you that are in the Vatican, I know that there's millions of you beautiful people in there. And the Lord loves you. He doesn't want you to be in darkness any longer. He doesn't want to have the shades pulled down over your eyes or for you to be shamed. Because if we don't keep the commandments of the Lord, it's for sure we're not going to go to the kingdom of heaven. But we'll spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire with Satan and his imps. All right, so let's finish this.
Number 2, he said he's praying that God should increase the anointing upon Pastor Lamo.
Yes, praise the Lord, because all the anointing, the more the anointing I have, the more that I'm going to preach this word. Amen?
Amen.
And I pray that the anointing will fall upon every born-again Christian, so because, you know, the time is short and the laborers are few. And we're supposed to pray for laborers, amen?
Amen.
So they can get out there and preach this word and teach it. Because it's been hidden far too long, all right?
Amen.
Now, just the 16th century now, we got a hold of it. And this is, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, the 20th century, 400 years. And now we're in the 21st century, okay? So, now they keep saying that the world began millions of years ago. No, it didn't. 6,000, a little over 6,000 years ago. But how can we prove that unless we have the Bible to prove it? Amen?
Amen.
They have so many liars, so many deceivers in the world that are teaching your children these false things in the schools and in these false churches. And we need laborers. We need all kinds of people. We need musicians in our church. We need electricians, we need carpenters, we need everything because we have to build places for people to live when they come here. We need people that are cooks and bakers and all sorts of things, to give to the Lord what he's given to us. He gave us his life, and we need to give our life for him. Amen?
Amen.
And there's so many things. We need mechanics. We need musicians, singers. We need all those things, amen?
Amen.
To impact this world today before it's too late. All right? And the people that have boldness, they've got the boldness of the Lord in them to preach the truth that has been hidden for so long. People have been entrenched into these false religions that the papacy, the Vatican, is controlling. All of those false churches and all the United Council of Churches have united themselves with the Vatican so that they they don't want to receive persecution like we have. Only those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so there has to be a lot of people that understand that and that are willing to give their lives up like the Lord gave his life for us. Amen?
Amen.
His entire life, he carried the cross and then he was crucified to it. We have been living a complete different life, and now we have to give up our life and be crucified from the beginning. And we have to continue on in the Lord. Christ was crucified, and then he took up the cross and followed the Lord, and then he was crucified. We have to be crucified right now and continue carrying the cross and continuously deny ourselves. All right?
Yes.
After all, the Lord's coming back soon, and we're not going to be able to come back and do it again. Once it's over, it's over. Once we face God, either at the judgment bar of the living God, the great white throne, or the mercy seat of Christ, there's no coming back. Okay, there's no such thing as reincarnation. All right, continue here.
Number three, he's praying that God should provide the necessities in Pastor Lomo's ministries.
Right. Send your tithes and offerings and all the different things that ministries need so that we can provide Bibles and books and the right teachings to people that are interested in getting the gospel out all over the world. And it's absolutely free. Not only that, when there are people that are sick and they need operations and they need all sorts of things, and that we send them, because people are being cut to pieces in certain lands. And we have to be bold and powerful. People are attacking churches all over the world, the secular government, because they're saying they're from the Vatican, and they're saying that they're right and that the Bible is wrong. Well, the Bible says they're wrong and God is right. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to pray one for another like that, just like this prayer. This is a beautiful letter. Then what else?
Number four, that Pastor Lomo's love towards the poor should continue flowing in a mighty way.
Yes, and we need that other people do that, because I'm only one person, and we need many people to have love for one another. Amen?
Amen.
And so that we can face off with the enemy when like they're trying to get us to tear down all of our buildings in Los Angeles to where we have no more place for people to live after we win their souls, and then they want to be thoroughly trained in the gospel field so that they can go out and help others. And now the government there wants us to tear the buildings down, and they even want our church. They want to destroy us. And so I'm telling the people in the Vatican, and to every person that believes in them, back off or the Lord's going to kill you. And this is what the book of Judges is about. It shows that many people have risen up against the true body of Christ, and they all had to believe in Christ in order to be able to get into the promised land. And if they didn't, they would fall dead before they got there. And they have to keep the commandments of the Lord, otherwise they will die. And anyone that attacks God's church, his body, that the Lord has meticulously and patiently put together all these years, God's going to destroy you. And so that's why I'm preaching to you to try to talk far more than sense. I mean, this is not only common sense, and it is your life. Receive what I'm saying, you people that are in government all over the world. And live. If you don't, you will surely die. All right? And soon. Because the Lord said he's not going to tolerate you any longer. Now, get busy and receive the gospel. Then what?
Number five, that God should continue maintaining unity among the members of Pastor Lomo's ministries. And number six, that Pastor Lomo's co-workers should love each other, and they should continue working in total collaboration so that his ministry should extend well into the whole world.
Right. A lot of people in the church, they tell people, well, you have to lay your life down. God never told me I had to lay my life down. I would have never understood what he was saying when our people just go out and say, well, listen, you have to lay your life down. No, they don't have to do anything like that. What happened to me is I got the fear of the Lord so much when the Lord visited me in the office in Beverly Hills that I immediately was so frightened by him, because he pulled the breath in and out of my body, not only that, before that, he was talking through my body. I could hear better in my arms, legs, chest, back, everywhere, to the point to where it was supernatural. And then he made me do something that I never wanted to do. I had to talk, tell the bunch of people in that room that never heard the gospel before that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again and for them to repent. And I knew that if I didn't do that, he would kill me and send my soul to hell. So God does threaten people. He threatens all the prophets, including Abraham, Moses, and everybody, the disciples. If you read even the last book in the Bible, he threatens that he'll blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That means that there's no guarantee if you don't keep the commandments and if you don't continue getting the word out that you're going to go to heaven at all. Amen?
Amen.
You have to be obedient to the Lord. Okay, then what?
These were some of the prayer requests I was praying for from the bottom of my heart. I have made a vow to God that I shall be praying for the Alamo Ministries until this heart of mine will stop beating. Amen.
No, praise the Lord, brother. This is one of the most beautiful letters I've ever received. Then what?
Another thing which has caused me to write this letter is that, as I said, I have a vision to serve the Lord as a pastor. I have heard that you receive those who are highly willing to serve the Lord with all power, wisdom, and strength.
Yes, we do. This person says it would come to the university. We don't have a university. The university we have is very much like the one that Jesus had. He talked to them on the hillsides, the mountainsides. He talked to them, on the outskirts of the wilderness and so on. And I've been to Israel and knew where he talked to people along the seashore. And then he'd get them busy going out and witnessing and testifying to people. They'd lay hands on people. They'd recover. They'd cast demons out of people because he gives us the power to do that when he enters into us. And he just gives us the power. So that's the kind of college we have here. If you want to come here and keep the rules, regulations, serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, everybody's welcome here. Amen?
Amen.
And we need your help. The Lord says, pray, that people will come into the ministry and serve him. Because the time is short, and, the harvest is ripe out there. People are receiving the gospel. Even the average person on the street knows that the Lord's coming back to earth again. All right, then what else?
Pastor, I am asking if you can allow me to learn at your college. I am highly willing to know more about the gospel so that I can lead people in the way you are leading them to eternal life. Of course, here we have colleges, but they don't teach the real reality of the blood.
No, they don't here either. Okay, then what?
Hence, many pastors are taught false doctrines.
Amen.
Pastor, I know that you have a great responsibility towards the world, but humbly I wish you could consider my request. Be merciful unto me. The Lord is my witness on how I want to do his will. Surely the Lord is covering...
You don't have to, implore me, brother. I'm trying to recruit people like yourself, so come on, okay? Just come on. All right, then what?
Surely the Lord is covering me with the cloud of his glory. The Lord is showing me the lost souls beyond my imagination. I need somebody's help so that the unreached souls can be reached. The cry of my heart is, Lord, send me. I want to help you, Pastor, to win the lost at any price.
And I want you to, and the Lord wants you to, so come on. All right? Don't talk about it. Be about it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Please write me back so that I can see what to do. By faith, without wavering, I believe that everything will be okay. I expect to receive your good answer. If possible, remember to send me the inspirational literature, Yours in Jesus, the Soon Coming King, Silas from Ferembe, Malawi, Africa.
Okay, get this to him right away, my answer. And then what else?
From Petersburg, Virginia.
Okay.
Dear brothers, God bless you. May the peace of the Creator reign in every one of your lives. These are the sincere wishes of a faithful admirer of your congregation. I always listen to your songs of praise, and I want to tell you that your program has been a blessing for me. It brings peace and great tranquility to my heart. I pray that God will give you more and more strength to continue on carrying the word to everyone. I am at the moment deprived of my liberty, and I always receive the literature you send me. I have read them all about 300 times over. If you have any others, please send me more. God bless you. Blessings to you all. Signed, Juan from Petersburg, Virginia.
Send everything to him that we have, and we've got hundreds of things and thousands of them. All right, now let's get into the book of Judges. And I explained to the people yesterday what the book of Judges was. And it's still the same today as it was then. If you didn't get to hear that, well then ask for the tape, which would be 427 and 428, the one today. Now then, go ahead, Sharon, start reading.
Verse 12, and Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achsah my daughter to wife.
Okay, now Caleb was one of the only ones. There were two people that were able to, the old timers that were able to go into the land of milk and honey, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Faithful people, really, really believed God. They weren't afraid of the giants, but the others that went in were, and so that's why they had to stay out on the desert for 40 years. If you believe in God, you shall live. If you doubt, you'll be damned.
And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, to wife.
And then what else?
And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her donkey, and Caleb said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs.
Now when God told them to go into Israel, he said to kill everybody in there because they were committing homosexuality, lesbianism, they were having orgies, they were worshiping other gods, and God didn't want them to be around. Sometimes the Lord destroys people with locusts, and sometimes he uses his people to go in and exterminate them. Now the Catholics are exterminating people because they think that the Vatican and all the people in the world that have been deceived by the devil, they believe that it's okay to do that because they figure God did it in the Old Testament, and so he can do it in the New. But the true Christians, the Lord says, those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. And, of course, living by the sword and dying by the sword means that you would be robbing banks or something like that. But he also says through Paul that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. They're not bombs, bullets, guns, and things like that. But he says our weapons are spiritual, the Word of God. Today, now, the Lord destroys people. All we have to do is pray to the Almighty God. God, take care of the people that are trying to take our property in Los Angeles, that are trying to lynch us, that because we are showing people what the truth is. And the Vatican doesn't want that out, and so they make up all kinds of stories about us, false stories, so that they can make the people in the world believe that they had the right to come in and kill us and put us in prison and all the other things. So that's why we call on the Lord to do that. Now here we are. They're entering the promised land. And so Joshua and Caleb, they have the right to dole it out. Caleb's son and his daughter-in-law or whoever, that they want to get property, well, they now own it. Amen?
Amen.
That's why in these last days when the Lord is going to pour out plagues on the entire earth, you won't have any problem with eating or a place to sleep or anything like this. Remember in the days of Moses in Egypt, there were 10 plagues that came down upon the people in Egypt. And he told all the Jews, all the Israelites, to go over to a certain place. Just stand aside while I wipe this whole country out. And they did, and they weren't harmed at all.
Mm-hmm.
When flies came down and all these other plagues, they didn't touch them at all. Okay? So God knows how to isolate us here in these last days, but you must be in a church that people are really hearing from the Lord. They're not reciting old, old, stale bread messages, but we're getting fresh bread from the Lord on a daily basis. Amen?
Amen.
And we're getting direction of where to go and what to do and where to stand and where not to stand. Amen?
Amen.
Because when God starts pouring out his wrath on this earth, which he's already doing, I hear of an 8-point on the Richter scale earthquake over, where is this at? In Peru, and that it was heading for Hawaii. These are not going to decrease, folks. It's going to get worse and worse. And so the thing to do is just hang on tight to the Word of God. Just stay in there, keep listening to these broadcasts, order all of the things that I've written, and believe them because it's in the Bible. We're not living in the dark ages anymore. The actual Word of God is being known now. God, His ways and all these things are known now. Satan is giving all kinds of new computers and everything like that, they're supposed to be miraculous things. They are sort of miraculous. I've never been able to figure out how a person can get a picture through a wire and in color and make everybody look the same way. But these kind of miracles can't get your soul to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
They can't feed, clothe, and house you or protect you from the plagues when they start coming down. Amen?
Amen.
But the ones that I'm teaching you will
protect
you and your family and your loved ones. But they have to believe, all right?
Amen.
Now, this is not the dark ages. We're not hiding the Bible. We're preaching it to you. Amen? And it's true. Absolutely. Okay, keep going, Sharon.
And the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath.
See, God used his people to slay people back then. He also used in the book of Joel grasshoppers to destroy. God used frogs in Egypt. He used water to flood the entire world in Noah's time. And so, you know, God has all kinds of different plagues that he has that will plague people that don't believe his word, or they prefer to stay in the dark ages because they love to sin. But the Lord is about ready to burn this planet up, and he's refurbishing it because it was sin here. And he wants to have a planet for us to live in that there was no sin. It has to be purged, burnt, purified. All right, keep going.
They slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, why would God want a bunch of homosexuals in heaven? These are perverts, amen?
Amen.
And even though God did allow polygamy, he still never allowed more than one woman to be in the bed with a man. Amen?
Amen.
God will curse people for that. They're just interested in sex. Polygamists usually do it because it's a convenience, and you know, a lot of them, the men are so old that they can't do anything sexually wise anyway. But they love it because it's a convenient way to live. All right, then what?
And the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ashkelon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron.
Well, but, you know, they have to trust the Lord that he can destroy the whole nation of Canaan, of Egypt, rather. And so he could take care of all the iron chariots. Amen?
Amen.
He could take care of the giants. He drove them out by a bunch of hornets, a bunch of little insects, the giants. Okay, then what?
And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak.
And he what?
He expelled thence the three sons of Anak.
And now those were giants, Anakins. Okay, then what?
And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem.
See, that's their problem. Amen?
Amen.
Not the Lord's. He said, if you keep them there, they're going to be a thorn in you. Okay? They're going to really give it to you later on in life. Okay, then what?
But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day.
That means unto the day of the writing of this literature, this portion of the Bible. Then what?
And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies...
Now that means, Luz means light, right? Like in the Spanish language, it's Luz. Amen?
Amen.
Turn off the light, Luz. Turn off the lights, turn on the Luz, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
And the spies saw a man come forth...
The what?
The spies saw a man come forth out of the city. And they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy.
These are the Hebrew spies. that saw that. And so they tell him, look, we're going into that city to kill people, but we won't kill you if you show us how to get in, okay? Then what?
And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family.
So they did what they said they were going to do, but they kept the promise with the man, and they let him go. Okay, and then what else?
And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day.
So the name of the city is Light, L-I-G-H-T. Then what?
Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and
her town. There they go again, not doing what the Lord said, because the Jew really doesn't want to kill anybody, but they're just doing what the Lord commanded them to do. And when they're disobedient to the Lord, then they're in a lot of trouble. Those people are over there right now giving them a hard time. Amen?
Yeah.
A very hard time. And the Lord said, if you don't drive them out, they're going to be a thorn in you. And they are. And even to this day. Okay, then what?
Nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out.
In other words, they made servants out of them, and made them chop the wood and carry the water and all that sort of thing. They didn't want to kill them because they didn't want to do the work. Amen?
Amen.
So they let those people do it. Like they want them to dig the ditches and the foundations and stuff like that. Okay, then what? But you get in trouble when you disobey the Lord. It's better to dig the ditches yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Drink water out of your own cistern. Then what?
Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them.
Now the Canaanites are those reprobates, the ones that commit adultery and fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, they lie, they steal, they cheat, everything they do that is against God. They even allow women to get abortions, just like the people today. Abortion is first-degree murder. They murder their own children. Okay, then what?
Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalal.
So they're disobedient to the Lord again, and they're going to pay for it. They were dispersed all over the world for 2,000 years, and the Lord has brought them back in 1947 and 48. And now this is the end of the Gentile dispensation because the Lord is turning back to the Jew. Keep going.
But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko.
Oh, this is so awful that they're disobedient to the Lord. Then what?
Nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob.
So the whole area now is contaminated with the same ones that the Lord told them to go in there and get rid of. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? Just finish the verse.
But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out.
They didn't do it. That means they did not obey God. And look at the trouble they got over there now. All right, well, right now is the time for salvation. We always come to this part of the program to give everybody an opportunity to receive Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in you so that you're able to keep the commandments of the Lord and so that you'll be able to go to heaven rather than into the lake of fire. So the way that you do that is you start out this way by saying this prayer. This is just the beginning of salvation. There's a beginning of salvation and an ending of salvation. The ending is when you die and the Lord takes you into the kingdom of heaven. But he says that those that continue on until he takes you into heaven, those are the ones that will be saved. So let's say the prayer now, and when you do, the Lord will enter into you and wash all your sins away, no matter how filthy they are, how bad or how little they are. He'll take them all away and drown them in the sea of God's forgetfulness and never remember them against you again. So say this prayer right now. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word, and your word is God. Your God says so, and it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my precious soul. Now, raise your hands up and be thankful to God when he heals your and washes your sins away and enters your body and gives you life eternal. For heaven's sakes, praise him and thank him. And share and tell him four different ways to receive a copy of this program, program number 428.
Go to AlamoMinistries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in tomorrow for another powerful broadcast that will teach you to get out of the dark ages and get into the light. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And here's a song that I love very much. Mary Alonzo sang it even before I was a Christian, and I loved it so much. It actually brought, I'm not a weeper, but it brought tears to my eyes. It was so wonderful the way he sang that. And so Joe Leahy, who is another one of my very favorite arrangers, arranged it for me. And the ones that are backing me up is the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation Choir and Orchestra. And the name of this song, I'm singing the lead, I'll Walk with God, just like Enoch did. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
From this day.